current events today. Just one thing that I may even do it. I don't know if I'll do it right now or not. I might not. I might wait on it. But just hate crimes laws. Because we're hearing a lot about hate crimes. How many of you saw what happened to that young man that was, you know, kidnapped and held captive by those four black teens and beaten and everything else? You saw that video or heard of it, read a story about it. And they're saying, well, that needs to be a hate crime. And there's going to be a lot of Christians, maybe you in here, and you're like, that's right, that does need to be a hate crime. Some of you are like, yeah, it should. They give them the stiffest penalties of the law. I'm just telling you, we better back up on that. I'll probably teach on it now that I'm not right now, but since I'm bringing it up, we better back up on thinking hate crimes are a good thing. Because here's what hate crimes do. They lift up one person's life and say it's more important than somebody else's. Was that true? It's not true. One person's life is not more important than another person's life. It's not. There's not more value to it. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting. I mixed up two verses there. Whatever. You know what I mean. But I'm just saying that God died for the whole world. That's what God did. He died for the whole world. He didn't say these ones are extra special. No, he died for us all. We're all of one blood, the Bible says. So we want to say, oh, hate crimes laws should be there. I mean, I've heard Christians get up and say, oh, they need to be there. Someone, you know, attacks a police officer with the shootings and everything that's going on. You know, they should get a stiffer penalty. Should they? I mean, we think it sounds good. Okay, but now let's flip it here. Think about this. This is why I'm telling you, I want you all to think critically about things, not just this, critically about all sorts of things. Because the media is going to feed us one thing and they're going to make us think we have an option and we're taking the right choice because they're going to do this right-left thing. And they're going to teach you that you're getting a choice because of that. And most of the Christians I know are going to choose the right. Or you get the right. Okay, we're not liberal. We're not going to be left. So we think we're going to go with what the right says. Well, is what the right says always right? Is what we need to ask ourselves. We have to think critically about that thing. Because if, say, someone attacks a police officer, should they be punished? Absolutely. Absolutely. But now what if we're out preaching and we're preaching that what the sodomites are doing is wrong and wicked? And they say, that's a hate crime. Wait a minute, we're not so for hate crimes now, are we? Are we? So what about, you know, if what if they kill someone because they're gay? They should get more time. Or what if they kill someone because they're a police officer? The person that committed that crime should get more time. Okay, so how about they kill a gay person and then they kill your son or daughter? But they just kill your son or daughter's caught in, you know, just drive-by shooting or something, and they're killed. And this person over here was killed because they're gay. Let's ask ourselves, should the person that killed the gay person get more time than the person that killed your child? See, we've got to think about these things. I say the answer is no. The penalty should be the same. What's the crime that was broken? We need to punish people based on the crime. That's intent doesn't matter. It's all evil intent. It's all hate. But we can't even say that anymore. It's all hate. The Bible says to hate somebody's murder. You hate your brother, you're a murderer. That's it. Now, I mean, our society is so mixed up and messed up that we've taken the death penalty off the table. That should be the punishment for both. Yeah, we'll be fair. You both lost your life. You both forfeit your right to life. That's what needs to happen. So we have to think about these hate crimes laws. All of us have seen the injustice that's happened. You know, Ellen DeGeneres kicked off some lady off her show. She wouldn't have her on her show because she's a preacher, so-called. There was a message of her preaching against sodomites. Well, Ellen DeGeneres is a lesbian. So she's not coming on my show. What, are you discriminating against her? I'm not for women preachers, amen, but I'll stand and defend her right to practice her beliefs as she wants. Amen. Amen right there. That's liberty, folks, and our country is leaving that. We're running from that and thinking we're still standing in liberty. We are leaving that stuff. But now a bakery has to be forced to bake a cake for a sodomite wedding or to take pictures for a gay wedding. That's against their beliefs. They say, I'm not going to do that. And I think they should have the right to do that. You can't force people what to believe. But that's what they're trying to do. So let's have liberty for all. Here's one that might get some people mad. I will defend a Muslim's right to believe what they want. How could you? They're killing us. That's what the media tells us. It's not really as bad as they say it is. I mean, I talked with Brother Byers, who had all those refugees flooding into Germany with them. I'm not saying all of them are good, but I'm not saying everybody here in America is good either. But I'm just telling you, he was witnessing to them, winning them to the Lord, and many of them in our media were lambasted as cowards and said all sorts of things about how come they leave their women and their children there. And I'm telling you, the men that he knew, that I talked to him about, that he was witnessing to, that he was sharing the gospel with, they were men who fled from there to find help for their family, and as soon as they could afford it, they were going to bring their family over. But they had to go first. I can think of the same thing of a lot of Mexicans that live here. They've left their family back in Mexico, and they came here to get a job, get settled, so they can bring their family here. I'm not against them. If they want to practice Islam, go ahead. Practice it. You can believe whatever you want to believe, because I cannot stand before God and answer for you. Same thing goes, our government cannot stand before God for us and answer to God for us. So they don't get to tell us what we believe and how we practice it. See, these are the principles that our country was founded on, not what we're being told. There is a revisionist history going on to America and what they're telling us and what our founding fathers said and all that stuff. It was based on true liberty, liberty of conscience. You can't tell me what to believe. You can't tell me what to think. But that's what they want to do. True liberty says you believe what you want. You say, well, are you for Muslims killing people and, you know, bombing and doing all that stuff and shooting places up? And no, I'm not. So you can defend the right to do that? Of course not. Where does someone's liberty stop? And we don't understand these principles, so we don't get it. Somebody's liberty stops when they harm mine or somebody else's life, liberty, or property. Or try to teach me or force me at the point of a gun to believe something I don't want to believe. That's where their liberty stops, and you don't defend that. You see, we can separate from it. I think it was Thomas Jefferson. I don't know. It's been attributed to so many people, but I don't care who said it. It's still truth. I'd rather have dangerous liberty than peaceful slavery. You got that? I'd rather have dangerous liberty than peaceful slavery. I would rather have the risk of knowing, of going on a plane and knowing that there could be some terrorist there that could blow that plane up and may be able to carry a gun on that plane, then no one be armed, and some terrorist gets on and does whatever he's going to do. I'll take dangerous liberty than peaceful slavery, because I'm just telling you that slavery is never peaceful. Just look at, study world history. Look at what's happened. We got to start thinking critically. Think in terms of true liberty. If it's not liberty for all, then I'm telling you right now, it's liberty for none. If they're going to pass a law that says, you know, Muslims can't do this, Muslims can't build a mosque, and you're like, yeah, that's right, they shouldn't be able to. I'm just telling you, you bought into the right-wing propaganda, the Christian right, and not biblical liberty. I mean, the apostles saw some people preaching. They said, hey, Lord Jesus, should we, you know, call down fire on them? He said, no, let them. It's okay. What's he going to do in the end? He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He'll deal with it in the end. We leave it to him. So if a Muslim wants to build a mosque, amen, go ahead. You pay for it, you fund it, you do all that. Because if we can tell them no, then guess what they could tell us? Yeah. Stop those Muslims. Okay, then don't be mad. Don't be mad when the tide turns and it's stop those Christians. Because we're getting there. We're getting there. So if it's not liberty for all, then it's not liberty for anyone. I'm just telling you, this is the reality of things. You might say, but we're still able to do everything we can for now. They're cracking down on it. I mean, we've already silenced pulpits. Pulpits have been silenced, preaching political type messages, whatever you want to call it, through nonprofit, 501c3 status, and incorporation. Pulpits have been silenced, and that was the purpose of that. It was Lyndon Johnson in the 50s said, we need to silence these pulpits because the preachers were preaching against him. And there's influence in that. He said, we got to stop them. And now you got preachers won't touch it. They get mad if somebody comes in and preaches something political and says something political. I mean, they're just tiptoeing all over the place, afraid of anything. So do we allow the government to tell us what we can preach then? Do we allow that? Should they be able to come in and tell me, you can preach this, you can't preach that? We say, no. They shouldn't. I mean, should the preachers in the days of the revolution, the days leading up to the revolution, should they have been able to get up and preach, you know, that rebellion against the King of England? Well, I bet the King of England was saying they shouldn't be able to preach that. But they did. See, we've got this idea and it's ingrained in us that whatever the government says, whatever law is passed, you have to obey it. I'm all for obedience to the government. We should. The Bible teaches that. As long as it doesn't go beyond its bounds. See, there's a higher law. God's law. Our founding fathers understood that. I'm going to misquote this, but you know what I'm talking about. We've been given these rights by our Creator. Certain inalienable rights have been endowed to us by our Creator. That means it doesn't matter where you're at, you have these rights. What? The right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The right to life. No one can take that from you. God gave us the right to life. The right to liberty. I can think what I want. You cannot tell me what to think. Freedom of conscience. This, by the way, all this stuff I'm talking about, this is what our Baptist forefathers stood for. We have liberty in this country not because of Protestants. I'm going to tell you right now. The Protestants were persecuting us. They had state churches and they fought the Bill of Rights. You don't know that because that's not the revisionist Christian history that's taught. But it was the Baptists that stood for liberty. I'm not saying all the Protestants, some of them understood it, but I'm telling you, they were influenced by Baptists. Why? Because it's biblical. But we've got to understand these things so that we're not, and I mean, I don't know, some of y'all can think what you want about me. You guys are here, you love me, I hope. You know, I hope you don't think I'm some crazed, you know, conspiracy theorist nut. But look at, I mean, can we just go back to recent history and look at what happened in Nazi Germany? I mean, go back to Cambodia, the killing fields in Cambodia. I mean, the USSR, what happened there under communism? What did they do? I'm telling you, Our founding fathers understood some things. And every time they sought to disarm the people, because then you have a helpless populace and you can do what you want with them. The Second Amendment is the one amendment that protects all the others. As they take the Second Amendment away, you can say bye-bye to the First. We're already seeing it disappear. It's already going by the wayside. They're calling what some of the things I've preached from here hate crimes, hate speech. It's not. It can. I don't see it getting better. It can. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I do know the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. It means dangerous. Dangerous times. So we need to understand these truths, stand for liberty, stand for the Bible, and not just blindly follow the propaganda that's being told to us. We have to think. You have to teach yourself to think critically, because sometimes all of us, I'm guilty, we just accept things. We're like, yeah, that sounds good, without actually thinking about it and without putting it through the filter of God's Word. This is why it's incumbent on us to know these things and to study these things out. See, this stuff I'm telling you, I didn't come to this by myself. I had others investing in me and others that maybe didn't even know me, but I read their book and they invested in me through that. Got to bring this knowledge to ourselves so we can stand on the shoulders of others who've gone and seen some things. We all need that, all of us. That's why God gave pastors and teachers for the edifying of the saints, to build you up, to teach you. So we have to be students of the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and learn how to apply the Word of God. We have to think critically. So hate crimes. It's not true liberty. It might sound good until it's falling on you. When they can yell and scream all sorts of wicked, blasphemous things against Christians, and that's okay. But we preach the truth of what the Word of God says, and it's a hate crime. And they get off scot-free, and we're being punished. People are losing their jobs. You don't think it's happening? Look in major league sports. Coaches have lost their jobs because they came out against stuff. Players have been fined and penalized when, what's his name? I forget his first name, Sam's. The sodomite player went, the Miami Dolphins drafted him, and one of the players was, I don't even know if he played on that team. He's like, I don't want to play with him, and he said some things about gays. And they fined him, penalized him, and he had to go to sensitivity training or something. It's already there. I'm telling you. You see, we're not facing persecution like some people are getting their heads cut off for it and things like that, but that is persecution. And that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Do some research into, World War II and what happened to the Jews. It wasn't just like overnight. Now, I'm telling you, it happened quick. But it took a good, pretty much 10-year period to get up to that, where they were rounding Jews up, throwing them on trains. I mean, do we think that's okay to do to people? Does anybody think that's okay to do to people? I think most of us would say no. I hope all of us would say no. But that's what was happening. And it didn't happen overnight. It was one step at a time. It was just the propaganda about the Jews being evil and wicked and this stuff constantly being told to them and the children being taught it. I'm telling you, man, public education, if you can, get your kids out of that. Get your kids out of public education if you can. Don't have them in that. That's a propaganda tool. I mean, to push all this junk, Where does that start with? You see, with Bamba Raptor and all this stuff, and we're learning about evolution. Why? Because it kills a belief in God. That's the purpose of it. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Thus the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And all this stuff blinds people to the truth of God's word. They say, that's not true. You can't believe it. Science has said this, and it makes them easy prey to the devil and the devil's doctrines to believe these things and to go just headlong into whatever it's going to be and however wicked and evil it's going to get. There's so many things I could talk about right here, but we can look at video games and how you got these first-person video games. And what is it like, the screens? I mean, I remember, I think the first one that really kicked all this off was, what was it called, Doom. I remember playing that when I was a kid on your computer. And it would be like you'd be that person going from room to room killing people. And now it's just getting worse and worse. Worse and worse, and it's making it more and more lifelike and more realistic and bloody and gory and, just horrible things. What is it? It's indoctrinating us. It's teaching us things to devalue life, to completely devalue life. That's what it's teaching us. That's what is going on, so that now you've got people aren't afraid to go shoot up like at Columbine. And that was the year I graduated that happened. Year I graduated high school, 1999, is when that happened. And now you've had all these other shootings that are going on. The shooting at the Orlando nightclub. I mean, I don't agree with what was going on at that nightclub, but I don't think they should lose their life for it. Murder. But it's being taught it's okay. We're being desensitized to these things because we're putting them in front of us. We're putting them before our eyes. I'm talking about UFC. That thing's taking over. That's like the fastest growing sport in America right now, I think, is UFC. And what is it? It's desensitizing us. Bash his face in. Boom, boom, boom. Bash his face in. Get him, get him. As they run around naked. That's what it is, I'm telling you. It desensitizes us to it. It's just one step at a time, though. One step at a time. Remember starting with WrestleMania. Ah, that's fake. That wrestling's fake. Let's go to UFC now. We're watching people's just faces get rearranged. I mean, just brutal, bloody. That's what's happening. Can I tell you, pornography does the same thing? Desensitizes us. I'm about to preach on pornography here coming up because we need to hit on that. Destroying homes. Destroying marriages. Desensitizes us to what true love is. Devalues women. Devalues women. I'm going to bring some studies before you that show that that's what happens in men's eyes. And it always gets worse and worse and worse and worse as it's consumed. Like a drug. You need more and more and more to get the same feeling. We're being desensitized. I mean, there's an all-out attack on this world, but even on God's people, to cripple us in service to God. It's on all fronts, and that's why the Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He says, okay, I can't get you with alcohol, with drugs. He says, I'll get you with pornography. Well, I can't get you with that. Okay, I'll get you with UFC. Can't get you with that, all right, I'll get you with football. Can't get you with that, I'll get you with politics. That's all your mind thinks about. And I'll corrupt it. I'm going to corrupt your mind. Philippians 4:8 tells us what our minds ought to think on. And it's not that junk. And it's a battle. It's a constant battle that you have to fight. You got to fight against it. It'll bring you down. The devil is seeking to destroy you. this world. He's the God of this world, and he will use this world system to destroy you. And he will have no mercy on you. He will get you by the throat and put a stranglehold on you and shake you around like a rag doll till you're dead and lifeless. He'll do that to your family, to your children, to you, to your spouse, to your parents. That's what he wants to do to us. Let me jump back on this UFC thing. People want more and more bloody blood and gore, and we want to be entertained. Do some research into the fall of the Roman Empire. What did the people want? He gave them bread and circus. I'm going to feed them, and I'm going to entertain them. Just shut up and don't think. That's it. Shut up and don't think. That's what they did in the Roman Empire. How'd they entertain them? The gladiators. What was that? UFC. UFC. I'll even say football. Is there anybody in here, when they've been in school and there's a fight, they're like, oh, there's a fight? Who does that? There's a fight? Where? 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 Ooh! That's what people do. Because we want to see that. I'm telling you this. You say, preacher, this sounds bad, but it's true. Everyone in here wants to see someone's face get bashed in. How many of you pass a car accident on the road and you're just like, it's over here, and you're like, oh, I'm not looking. No, everyone's like, what happened? Boom! Oh, man! Because they want to see. We want to see it. We got to fight that. Pull ourselves back. We're being desensitized to things that God says we should have really no fellowship with. Violence, vulgarity, nakedness. We're a people, we're at a point where we as a people have no shame. We don't, as Jeremiah said, these people can't blush. What does that mean? They feel no shame over their sin anymore. They'll put it out there for everyone to see. They'll put their filth all over Facebook, promoting it, not realizing everyone just saw it. What does that say? That says they have no shame. I don't care if somebody sees this. This is where we're at because we've been so desensitized to it. And I'm telling you why right now. Because we don't have the mind of Christ. It's happened because we don't have the mind of Christ. We don't think like God thinks. We think like the world thinks. We're filled with the world. So we think there's nothing wrong with it. That you've got so-called Christians getting tattoos and putting it all over Facebook for the world to see. That's what's happening now. That's where people are at. Putting their drunkenness out there for everyone to see. Professing Christian doing a keg stand. What? How does that fit your profession of following a holy God? Don't judge me. But we're taught, so you can't say anything. You're mean and bigoted. Go along to get along. How about we go along with God and get along with Him? I'm not saying we need to be mean to these people or anything like that, but don't condone it. Don't like that stinking garbage on Facebook. Don't like it. Whatever it is, there's lots of things people put up and I won't like it just because of the source it comes from. And I'm like, I agree with that. But the source it comes from, I'm not putting my authority, my approval on that thing by liking it. There have been sometimes I've liked some things, then I saw it later and my wife was like, you like that? And I was like, well, what was wrong with it? Like, you didn't see that? And I'm like, oh, I had to go back and unlike it. You might hurt their feelings. Oh, well, stop putting wickedness out there. I get it. We've all done it. I probably shared something that was maybe had something bad in it, too. I get it. I don't think everyone is out to do evil or anything like that. But I'm telling you, we don't blush at sin anymore. Women see nothing wrong with showing their breasts all over the place. And I'm not saying they're walking around, you know, with no top on. I'm saying they're showing all their cleavage for everyone to see. You know, to wake you guys up and do my selfie pose for you. That, you know, why are you taking it from way up there so it can see down your shirt? Because they know what they want. They know what they're looking for. They want that attention, all the likes, and be like, oh, you're so beautiful and all this. They want guys to, you know, just stare at them. I've talked with my wife about that. She's like, sometimes I couldn't even pay attention to what she was saying because a woman's showing so much cleavage. She's like, and I don't care. It was distracting, though. Cover it up. Ladies, you profess Christ. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm not talking about lost people. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Or I'm not talking about someone that just got saved. They don't know any better. They need to learn. I'm talking about someone who's been saved 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, 3 years. You ought to know better than that. You ought to know better than that. No shame. It's no shame. Guys walk around with no shirt. Some of you are like, what? And I've talked about this stuff before, but let me bring it up again. And I'll probably mention it again as summertime rolls around. The Bible says it's nakedness. Peter, when the Lord dies and Peter says, I'm going fishing. He goes fishing and the Lord shows up. He's on the shore. Have you guys caught anything? And they don't realize who it is. And John says, that's the Lord. And it says, Peter grabbed his fisherman's coat and put it on him, for he was naked. What does that mean? He didn't have anything up here. He was naked. God says it's nakedness. Now, you want to try and defend nakedness, be my guest. You're not going to find it in here, though. Guys, put a shirt on. Put a shirt on. Ladies, keep it high. I'm telling you, bring that neckline up. You may have to wear an undershirt with every single thing you wear. And that undershirt needs to be tight. The outer shirt needs to be loose. Why? So you're not showing the form of your body. It needs to be that way. So you can be modest, so you can please God. Not so you can please me or your husband even, your father. So you can please God. Because that's pleasing in God's sight. He wants an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Modesty. It says the attention's not here or here. Modesty. I'm telling you, there's no shame. Here's another area. Women and men showing their thigh. The Bible says it's nakedness. Your thigh is above your knee from here up. The Bible says that's nakedness. There used to be a day when even lost people wouldn't do that. That day is long gone. Long gone. But I'm telling you what happens. You go out off Central where the clubs are at and stuff, and you got these girls walking around wearing next to nothing, and they walk in an area where there's maybe a bunch of men or something, and they start feeling uncomfortable. I'm telling you, the first thing those ladies do is they put their jackets on, they start covering themselves up. Why? Because they still know. It's wrong. God said it's nakedness to show your thigh. But ladies, even men, I know it's probably not the temptation for women to look at men at a man's thigh as it is for a man to look at a woman's thigh. The temptation's probably not the same, but God still says it's nakedness. Men, cover your thigh too. But ladies, cover your thighs. Keep your body covered. That's something for only your husband. That's it. It's for him and him alone. No one else. But there's no shame. No shame over sin anymore. We have to get back to where we can blush at what this calls sin. And that might mean you're going to be seen different in the eyes of this world. And I know Christians who are more embarrassed of what this world thinks than what God thinks. And that's sad. When we're more embarrassed of what some lost person thinks, or our friends or our family thinks, versus what God thinks. And I get that. I know, I understand that struggle's real. There's reality to that. I'm not immune to all that stuff. I face it too. See, before I was a preacher, I had this idea that, man, preachers got it all together. They know everything's easy for them. They've got it all figured out already, and they take this stand, and everything's good, and it is not like that. Because I'm human just like you are, and things affect me. The same things you battle with, I'll battle with. And every preacher you know is going to battle with them. But it's so important we have the mind of Christ. We think like Him. We can blush at sin. I love when something's mentioned and my children will be like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Praise God, I'm glad they don't know what that is." Amen. Bible says be simple concerning evil. Amen. You don't need to know about it. You don't need to know the depths and depravity of sin to be an effective Christian. Praise God that God can keep people from all that. Amen. That's His saving grace just as much. He can save somebody out of the gutter, but praise God, and I like this one even better, He can keep somebody from ever going into the gutter. Amen right there. Amen. You can get excited about that right there. Amen. You didn't have to go into the gutter and the filth of sin. God kept me from it. Praise God. All right.